So here's the real one, which is, how do you determine whether you're going to use a PARP inhibitor? And in particular, how do you determine whether you're going to use Bev?
I make my decisions about Bev based upon the clinical setting, which is that I tend not to use Bev in the frontline setting. I tend to limit it to only patients who have severe ascites or severe pleural effusions where I really need rapid control of their cancer. But otherwise, I don't tend to use bevacizumab, and the data from PRIMA and PALA have not changed my practice. I make a clinical decision about bevacizumab. In terms of who I think about to use for a maintenance PARP inhibitor, if they have a BRCA mutation, either tumor-based or germline, I recommend a maintenance PARP inhibitor for all of these patients. I think that although we don't have overall survival data yet, the degree of PFS benefit that we have seen is so profound that this is a not-to-be-missed opportunity. For patients who are BRCA wild type, I actually have a very long discussion with them about the relative risks and benefits that have been seen with a PARP inhibitor. There are some patients I've had who say, I don't care what you tell me, if it's going to give me even a little bit of time, I want to be on this drug. And for those patients, I prescribe them a PARP inhibitor and I don't do HRD testing. For some patients, they will say, well, if you tell me that I'm going to have a lot of benefit, I'll do it. But if it's 3 months, don't give me 3 years of a pill. Those are the patients where I will send HRD testing. And if their HRD test comes back with evidence that they have an HR deficient tumor, then we'll think about doing maintenance niraparib. If it's a HR proficient tumor, then I will defer and observe them. I think Bev has some degree of benefit. The degree of benefit was most in those patients who seem to have the highest risk stage 4 type disease or not debulkable stage 3 disease, if you look at the ICON 7 data. And those are the patients in whom I might consider Bev. PARP inhibitors, I think they, again, it's a numeric discussion. I think for somebody who has got a BRCA mutation and we don't have the OS data and we're not going to have it for some period of time, I think that there's a high likelihood, at least in my opinion, I feel that that will ultimately translate to overall survival benefit. And to say now that we're not going to give patients that because we don't know the OS benefit is really hard to do. But for patients who don't have a BRCA mutation, it's less clear to me that the degree of benefit that we're seeing is going to translate into overall survival benefit. And for some of these patients, they'll have opportunities at PARP inhibitors at a later date. They could get it in the relapse setting. I think that a lot of it comes down to that sort of what's the person's motivating factor? What is the importance of a small gain versus, you know, a larger gain and what they're willing to trade off for it. So if you have somebody who's young and they have 3 young kids and they're saying, I want every single day I can get without having to go back on chemotherapy, then I agree that's somebody who is going to want to do a PARP inhibitor as a maintenance regardless of what their any biomarker shows. I would still do their BRCA testing because I think it gives us a lot of information. And of course, I would do germline because I think that it is telling for their family. But I think that that's somebody where I would probably not, for example, think about HRD testing because she's already told me I'm going to do a PARP inhibitor regardless of an HRD test.
How about Bev though?
So here's the thing. It is not clear to me. And this is, I think, where this question of do you do Bev PARP or do you do PARP? If you got a newly diagnosed patient, it is not clear to me that Bev PARP gives you advantage over a PARP inhibitor alone.
Do you think that, you know, if a patient asks you who has, let's say, optimal debulking, they said, do you think I'll get any benefit out of Bev? What would you say?
I wouldn't recommend Bev to them.
Well, no, but I'm saying, would you get any benefit?
I think that you could get maybe some progression-free survival benefit, but you're not going to live longer because you did Bev. I make very firm recommendations when I think that there is likelihood that it's going to have an impact on survival. So you do chemotherapy after surgery, you do PARP inhibitor maintenance if you have a BRCA mutation. I do make firm recommendations about that. And for something like PARP inhibitor maintenance, if you don't have a BRCA mutation or do you do Bev, I'll say that personally, unless it was clinically indicated, I probably wouldn't do Bev. And in terms of a PARP inhibitor maintenance, I think that I personally would probably want to know what my HRD score was, but everybody's different.